Football Accato. Before I begin, I'd like to give my condolences to two families here. The family of Marhum Aya Faiqa Hussein Kazimini, who passed away. His son is here and his family are here with us, so we give condolences to them for the departure of their father. May Allah embrace him with his forgiveness and his mercy and his love and kindness in paradise. Also, I'd like to give condolences to Murad Mand and Yasai family, our dear friends in this community for a long time, for the anniversary of the late Dr. Mehdi Murad Mand, who passed away several years ago here in Orange County, and his family is with us, his honorable wife, Hamida Khanum, and his honorable daughter, Maryam Khanum, and the rest of the family are with us. So I ask you please to recite for the two people. Please recite for them Surah Al-Fatiha ma'a salawat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى خاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين O who you believe and revere God, be mindful of your Lord and always stay with those who speak the truth. وكونوا مع الصادقين. And one of the leaders of those who always spoke the truth, and his life revolved around the truth and justice, was the sixth Imam and the sixth successor to the Prophet. His name is Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Who was born in the city of Medina in the year 83, and he was martyred in the year 148. So he lived for almost 65 years. And he was born after the departure of his grandfather, the Prophet, 72 years after the death of the Prophet, he was born. The Prophet died in 11th, and Imam al-Sadiq was born in 83. So that is almost 72 years. However, his teachings never departed from the teachings of his grandfather, the Prophet. He followed his grandfather's footsteps and tradition. Step by step. Hadithi hadithu abi wa hadithu abi hadithu jaddi wa hadithu jaddi hadithu amir al-mu'minin wa hadithuhu hadithu rasulillah wa hadithuhu anillah an jibra'il anillahi ta'ala. All those 12 disciples who succeeded the Prophet, they followed him. Their speech was his speech, and their tradition was his tradition. When the Imam, the fourth or the fifth or the sixth or the seventh or the eighth Imam says something, he would take it from his predecessor, from his father, his grandfather, until this chain of narrators ends through Imam Ali alayhi salam, ends with the Prophet. And the Prophet, when he says something, it means he's conveying the message of God. وَمَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The Prophet never speaks out of his desires or whims. What he says is revelation from God to him. So this chain of narrators, our imams, their speech is authentic and genuine, and it is related to the Prophet. Their teachings are the teachings of the Prophet. But why our school is known as the Ja'fari? Related to Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. Why? Why it is called Ja'far? Because almost 70 years or 80 years after the Prophet, the Islamic law started to be crystallized and it would take shape. Before that, the Islamic law was general. There were only one tradition. But then, schools of thought started to develop and emerge, different orientations, different interpretations, different directions, and they all claim that they are Muslims. And they all claim that they represent the Prophet. And they started drafting the Islamic law during that time. And the Hanafi tradition, Hanafi is related to Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa, his name, his real name is Thabit al-Nu'man ibn Thabit, Abu Hanifa. Abu Hanifa is believed to be born in Afghanistan, in Kabul. Then Malik ibn Anas, some people believe that he was born in Medina, but others believe that he was not Arab, but he joined the Arabs. So his origin is not Arab. And then after that came Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, and lastly, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, which is widely followed by the Salafi tradition today. Ahmad ibn Hanbal is the tradition that is followed in Saudi Arabia and Qatar and these countries, the radical countries. But the teacher of Islamic jurisprudence and Islamic law was the sixth Imam, Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the direct mentor and teacher of two Sunni Imams. One is Abu Hanifa and second is Imam Malik. He taught them. They studied under his supervision and his guidance. And he was indirect teacher and mentor of the other two Imams, Al-Shafi'i and Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Imam Malik was the student of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Al-Shafi'i was the student of Malik. And Ahmad ibn Hanbal was the student of Shafi'i. So they all, at the end, they all are related in their knowledge to our sixth Imam, Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. And those teachers and leaders of these traditions, they started to develop their ideas and their own interpretation of the Islamic law. And therefore, you find here the emergence of schools of thoughts. Not only four, they came down to four. They were almost 100 schools of thought at that time. 100. It's like the primaries, Republican primaries. You begin with 16 heroes and you end up with only one hero now. Same thing with the Democrat. I don't know how many they started with. Again, 16 or less than 16. 4 or 5? Maybe. So Islamic madhahib, where they started with so many, but they ended now with mainly now 5. 5. But Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was the most distinguished one. Listen to what Imam Malik says. Imam Malik is a heavyweight leader and jurist. He's not easy. At some point they said about him, the Abbasid government, the Abbasid empire, they said, لا يفتى ومالك في المدينة. No one has the right of giving fatwa or Islamic answer or verdict except Imam Malik. He himself, Imam Malik, says, ما رأت عين ولا سمعت أذن ولا خطر على قلب بشر أفضل من جعفر بن محمد الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام. No eyes could see and no ears could hear and no thoughts could comprehend a better leader in his knowledge and his piety and his righteousness and his vision than Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. This is the testimony of a heavyweight student of him, Imam Malik, in Medina. But then why the Shias are the minority? Because those who grabbed power yesterday are similar to those who are grabbing power today. Same story. Same story. Identical story. Those who rule Arab countries and Muslim countries are people who did not come through democracy or ballot box. People did not choose them. They imposed themselves on the ummah, on the community, by force, by coup d'etat, by torturing people, by corruption, by military means, not democratic means. Most of the countries, probably not all of them, but most of them. The same thing happened yesterday, 13 or 1400 years ago. Those who succeeded Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who strived to build a model nation state in Medina, but unfortunately those who succeeded him, they did not do a good job, especially the Umayyad Empire and the Abbasid, both. They were corrupt. Umayyad's leaders and caliphs were known for their corruption and their brutality and their dictatorship. They would pass power from the father to the son. No one elected them. No one consented to their rule. But because they used force, the sword, as their logic. The same thing with the Abbasid. The Abbasid, they always raised the slogan, always they used to say, when they were in the opposition, they used to say that Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet, have been abused by the Umayyad. They have been wronged by the Umayyad, so we have to bring justice back to them. This was their slogan. And they asked people to rise against Bani Umayyah in support of Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. And people did so, especially after the tragedy of Ashura in Karbala, when people woke up and they realized the scope of the disaster, what happened by the murder of, by killing the grandson of the Prophet, they realized the bad thing that happened and they committed themselves to bring back justice. Banu al-Abbas were very smart politicians. They said the best way for us to reach power is to tell the people that we are supporting Ahlul Bayt. We are advocating them. So they deceived people. And when they reached power, they forgot their promises. They turned against Ahlul Bayt. And they did even worse than what Bani Umayyah did to the family of the Prophet. Imam al-Saliq lived through the reign of the last 10 caliphs of Bani Umayyah during 50 years, the last 10 caliphs, until Bani Umayyah collapsed, their empire collapsed because of their aggression, their injustice. And then when Banu al-Abbas emerged, Imam al-Sadiq lived through the reign of two of their caliphs. Abu al-Abbas al-Saffah was the first caliph, and al-Mansur. Mansur al-Dawaniqi was the second caliph, who murdered the Imam. During his reign and his period, our sixth Imam was murdered and was killed by poison. Imam al-Sadiq, when he came, he led two types of revolutions. One is the revolution of the thoughts, al-fikr, because people went through a long period of ignorance. People did not study. They read the Quran, but they did not study the Quran. They did not understand the Quran. They did not understand the true tradition of the Prophet, peace be upon him. People were ignorant. The second revolution that he led was the revolution of akhlaq and character and manners. Because again, people were down. People were Muslims by name, but not by character. Not by character. People did not uphold the principles of Islam. People called themselves Muslims, but they violated the very principles and values of their religion. And our Imam's job is to restore people's dignity, is to bring back people to the truth and justice and to the real Islam, the Islam of peace, the Islam of love, the Islam of kindness and goodness. Because the aspirations of our Imams was not politics, was not to rule, was not to dominate, but to teach. That's the difference between a politician and an imam, a leader, a scholar. The aim of the scholar and the leader and the imam is to teach and to save. The aim and the goal of politician is to rule and dominate. There is a big difference between them. Big difference. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, government for me is not an aspiration. Don't think that I aspire to be a governor or a caliph. Illa one. There is one motive for me to be caliph. Illa an uqima haqqan aw adfa'a batil. Unless I establish justice and defeat injustice. That's the only reason for me why I accept to be the caliph. Uqima haqqan aw adfa'a batil. This is the real ruler. This is the real caliph. This is the real imam. He doesn't want to sit on the seat so people can worship him and be subjugated to him. He wants to establish justice and peace in the society. He wants to make people happy, people safe, not to dominate. Imam Ali was successful because he did not aim. Even Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one day he said to his son, he said to his son, إِنَّ عَلِيًّا
لم تزنه الخلافة ولكنه زانها. The خلافة, the seat of خلافت was not, it did not decorate Ali. Ali was the one who gave decoration, attraction and value to the seat of خلافة. You follow me on this? Ali made خلافة beautiful, not خلافة made Ali beautiful. Sometimes a person is unknown, nobody knows him, nobody cares about him, nobody respects him, he becomes the president, the prime minister, all of a sudden people start knowing him, he becomes popular. So, not because he himself is popular, because the seat is popular. The position of the seat. When it comes to Imam Ali, Imam Ali himself was popular, whether he's caliph or a private citizen. He was popular first and foremost in the eyes of God. In the eyes of God. God loved him. First, before we love him, God loved him. The Prophet turned to him, he said, Ya Ali, ma arafaka illa Allah wa ana. Only two people can value you and truly appreciate you, and that is God and me. God and me. He can appreciate you. And the Prophet said to him, when he gave him the banner to go in one of these, the Battle of Khaybar, north of Medina, 170 kilometers north of Medina, he said, I'm giving this banner to a hero. رجل يحب الله ورسوله ويحبه الله ورسوله. I'm going to give this banner to a man that he loves God and his apostle, and God and his apostle love him too. They both love him too. Ali was popular. He didn't need to be a caliph. He was not killing himself to reach that seat. And the first thing he did when he was elected as a caliph, they said to him, this palace is yours. He said, I'm not going to even enter this palace. Leave me alone. The palace still today, if you happen to go to Kufa next time, next to Masjid al-Kufa, there is a palace. Now it's ruined, of course. That was Qasr al-Imara, the biggest palace in that city, maybe in Iraq, maybe in the Middle East at that time. Ali said, I'm not even going to step inside this palace. I don't need it. I don't look forward for this palace. Now people are killing themselves to reach the White House. Ali, the White House came to him and he refused to enter the White House. Because Ali came to serve, not to rule, not to dominate. Ali was not thirsty for presidency. Presidency was thirsty for Ali. The nation was thirsty for Ali and his justice. The same thing with other imams. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam was summoned to the palace of al-Mansur. Mansur was a ruthless dictator. Ruthless dictator. We used to say these things 30 years ago, nobody would believe what we say about those dictators, Muawiyah and his cronies. But now when people see Osama bin Laden, now when people see what Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi does, they say, yes, it's a true. Did you see that? I mentioned this last Thursday. I mentioned this, a boy of 11 years old. His name is Abdullah Isa, Palestinian boy, who's diabetic. And he was about to die. They captured him. They captured him near Aleppo, one of the branches of Al-Qaeda that is operating in Syria, Nuruddin Zenki's, that's the name of the group. They beheaded the boy. They cut his head. He's only 11 years old. Where does that happen? In what country? In what culture? In what religion? What religion tells you that a boy who is only 11, he has not reached the age of puberty, would be killed? Except with the Salafis and the Wahhabis. the only religion that permits and encourages this barbaric act is the Salafi and the Wahhabi tradition. They beheaded him, and they were proud to carry his head, and they were screaming, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, victory, victory for them. Killing a boy who's only 11, this is victory for them. This is exactly what Muawiyah and Yazid and Bani Umayyah and Bani Abbas did to the followers of Ahlul Bayt. They murdered their children. They murdered their women, their daughters, their men, their elderly. They demolished their homes. Muawiyah used to say, anyone you capture who is suspected of being the supporter of Ali, first of all, demolish his house completely. And then murder him. Leave no room for him in the society. Anyone that you suspect, not certain, no, when you suspect he's a supporter of Ali, the first thing, he did exactly what Israel is doing to some Palestinians today. They demolished their homes. Israel learned this from Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, 1300 years ago. He used to do the same with the followers of Ahlul Bayt. اهدموا عليه دارة. اهدموا. While they are alive, collapse the home, crush the home on them. Let them die inside their home. But look at where is Ali today and where is Muawiyah. Who's victorious today after 13 or 1400 years? If you ask people in the street, who's victorious today? Ask for the grave of Muawiyah, and then you go and see for yourself the shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. And this is just here in the dunya. In the akhirah, Allah says that's even a greater account, a greater difference in the akhirah. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. Allah says those who follow the path of paradise are not equal with those who pursue the path of evil, destruction, and hellfire. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. We have to distinguish. We cannot be naive. Muslims should not be naive. They should distinguish between a good ruler and a bad one. A good one who brought justice and peace and dignity to the Muslims and mankind, and someone like Muawiyah and Yazid who brought nothing but damnation and evil to mankind, to themselves and mankind. Mansur was one of them. Mansur al-Abbasi is the second caliph in the rank, the second Abbasite caliph. He came from Baghdad. You know, he built the city of Baghdad. This city of Baghdad today was built by this guy, Mansur. He built Baghdad and then he came to Hajj, to Mecca and Medina. Imam al-Sadiq was in Medina. And you know the scholars at that time, scholars who were not connected to God, they connected to Caliph. Scholars who did not work to God, they worked to the Sultan, the Sultan. This is the most dangerous thing, my friends. If you see a scholar who's not connected to God and he does not work for him, don't respect him. And don't believe him. Don't believe him. If you see a scholar who receives salary from the Sultan or the government, don't respect him. Because he's not going to be honest, I'm telling you. He's not going to be honest. He's not going to tell you the truth. He's not going to satisfy God. He's going to satisfy the Sultan, the governor, the caliph. And this was the case with 99% of the scholars in Medina at that time, except one of them, and that is Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. When Mansur came to Medina, they all rushed to meet with him and to praise him, the scholars, the ulama. Except Imam al-Sadiq, he did not go to visit him. He was waiting the first day, the second day, the third day, the fifth day, until he sent someone. He came, he knocked at the door of Imam al-Sadiq, he said to him, the caliph is saying, all people came to visit me, why don't you come?
Why don't you come? I'll take you by force. So he took him by force. He pulled him. He took him to the palace of the Mansur. Mansur said to him, Ya Ja'far ibn Muhammad, in a very rude way. He didn't say to him, Sayyid Imam, the son of the Prophet, Ya Ja'far ibn Muhammad, O Ja'far, لِمَ لَا تَخْشَانَا كَمَا يَخْشَانَ النَّاسِ. What's wrong with you? Why don't you come and visit me just like other scholars? Listen to the Imam. We learn this from our Imams. And I'm proud, very proud, that this Imam is my leader. I'm proud of him. He said to him, I don't have any business in this dunya. No trade, no company, no business, no franchise. So I can fear it. I can fear for the safety of my business, so I can come and greet the Sultan. ليس لنا من أمر الدنيا شيء فنخشاه عليك. This is what he said to him. And then the second thing, Imam said to him, neither you have something of the business of the Akhirah, so I can come and learn from you. The first thing, I don't have any business in this, no money, no stock market, nothing that I fear the Sultan. If I don't go and visit him, he's going to punish me. He's going to, you know, take my wealth away. I have nothing. I'm not losing anything. Neither you have something of the Akhirah, no values, no principles, no God. You don't know them. So I can come and learn from you. You know what the Mansur said? He was very embarrassed. He said to him, No. I know you don't own anything in this dunya. I know you are ascetic. تَخْشَانَا لِتَنْصَحَنَا. You just come here to advise me. Imagine a person who is ruthless, a person who used to kill his opponents, they take them out of the prison. They murder them right before his eyes while he's eating, enjoying his meal. And he says, what a delicious meal I'm enjoying. While he sees his opponents being murdered right before his eyes. He tells the Imam, come and advise me. Look at the Satan. Imam al-Sadiq says, من أراد من يريد الدنيا لا ينصحك. Someone who seeks the dunya would never give you a true advice. ومن أراد الآخرة لا يصحبك. And someone who seeks the Akhirah would not come and sit with you at all. He would avoid it. Those are our Imams, our leaders. Do you know why the Shia tradition is the strongest today and it can survive persecution, survive the killings, survives the ethnic cleansing? It survived because it has such an Imam, an Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Assad. Who stands in the face of the tyrant and he tells him, if I seek the dunya, if I am one of the people of dunya, I would not be honest with you. I have to be a liar like you because I seek the dunya. And if I want to be one of the people of the akhirah, I would not even come close to you and sit with you because you have nothing to offer me for my akhirah. You are corrupt. Those are our imams. As a result of that, when Al-Mansur he was able to conquer all other scholars. And he asked Imam Malik, imagine Al-Mansur asked Imam Malik, this is a great scholar. He asked him to write a book, write it for me, Book of Islamic Law. So Imam Malik, he writes the book by the name of Al-Muwatta. Check it out, it's in the library, it's very popular. Muwatta, at the request of the caliph, a dictator caliph. And then, imagine Imam Malik writes a book of Islamic law and he never mentions Ali ibn Abi Talib in his book. No single hadith from Ali ibn Abi Talib.
And Ali ibn Abi Talib, the Prophet says, أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمُ عَلِيٌّ بَابُهَا فَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْمَدِينَ فَلْيَأْتِهَا مِنْ بَابِهَا. I'm the city of knowledge, and Ali is the gate to the city. So if you seek to enter the city, you have to go through the gate. Ali is absent from this book, imagine. Why? Because Al-Mansur, he puts the pressure on Imam Malik, don't mention Ali at all. Ali was marginalized. Ali, the sweetheart of the Prophet, was marginalized and demonized. I ask you this question, can Ummah, a nation, succeed? A nation that marginalizes a hero like Ali. A nation that marginalizes a hero that even the Prophet would search for him. And he says, where is Ali? Bring me Ali. At any cost, I need to see Ali. When you put Ali aside, what is the result? The result is a bloodshed. The result of thousands of refugees and pain and destruction of cities and humanity. Allahumma wali man walah wa adi man adah wa ansur man nasara wa khdhul man khadhul. This is the prayers of the Prophet 1400 years ago. Oh God, support those who support him. Keep safe those who keep Ali safe. Protect those who protect Ali and the message of Ali, and stand with Ali. Because Ali is justice. Aliyun ma'a al-haq wal-haqqu ma'a Ali yaduru ma'ahu haythu dar. Ali is the embodiment of truth and justice. We look at Ali not as a person. Ali to me is not an individual or a person. Ali is principle. Principle, not a person. Principle and value. Ali is a value and a principle. I don't worship Ali as an individual. I respect Ali because he is the embodiment of this book. Of this book. Aliyun ma'a al-Qur'an wal-Qur'an ma'a Ali. Ali is with this book and this book is with Ali. The Prophet says, Aliyun huwa al-Qur'an al-Natiq. Qur'an al-Natiq. This is the silent book. You read it, it's silent. But Ali is the spoken book. The book that speaks, Quran al-Natiq. So when you put him aside and you don't mention his, not even a single hadith in your book, that ummah, forget about it. That ummah has no future. And therefore, we wait the 12 imam to come, to restore dignity. No one can restore this dignity. And the honor of this ummah, the Muslim ummah, accept our 12th imam, al-imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam. We work hard for him to come. We must work hard. We must change ourselves, transform ourselves for the imam to come. Before I conclude, my brothers and sisters, as I mentioned, Haj Samir mentioned earlier, I'm going to continue, inshallah, on the legacy of Imam al-Sadiq tomorrow at Friday prayers, inshallah. And we have this 17th youth camp. We are working very hard to keep this camp going and to try to teach and educate the young generation in this country, our Muslim brothers and sisters and sons and daughters. And we have a deficit. We have almost $10,000 deficit because the campers, they pay $200 while we pay the campsite $328. $338. So the campers, they pay us $200. We put from our own pocket, Mr. Samiri's pocket, of course, not mine, $138 more. So we have a big deficit and we need to keep this going. We really need to keep this going. So
we need your donation. And you can pay zakat, homes, whatever donation you have for this cause. So please either see me or Haj Samir at the end of the program so we can make this a success, inshallah. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.